So delighted to be able to welcome you to this seminar. We're going to be chatting just over this next little bit. We're going to be speaking about being awakened to gifts of the Spirit. So my name is Ross. I am from Ireland, from Northern Ireland, from Portadown. Yay. Anybody who's been to Northern Ireland before, Portadown is about 30 miles from Belfast. It's south. I am senior pastor in Portadown Elam, also involved in the Irish leadership team. I've been in ministry for about 21 years now, and I'm married to Natasha. We have three kids, and I am so shocked that you're all here. That so many people are here. I really did think that when this was all being planned and my name was put against this session, it was kind of made out to be like this would be a very small group and a very small gathering. But it's great to see you. And when I was flying over this morning, I just really did have this sense that God wanted to do something. So why don't we just pause just for a moment? So the whole purpose of what we're going to be chatting about this afternoon is gifts of the Spirit being awakened in you and being awakened. So a huge thing for me is that gifts of the Spirit are already given and they're dormant. So in this next hour, we want to pray that they erupt and we want to pray that they flow and whatever's stopping them gets removed. So let's just take a moment, just wait on the Lord, just for a moment. Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you, Jesus, we love you, we worship you, Lord, praise you, Jesus. Lord, when we gather together, when we come around your word, Lord, we are guaranteed your presence. So Jesus, you are here. Father, whether we feel you really strongly or not, Jesus, you're here. You're in this room. I pray that we would be so aware of your presence, so aware of your anointing, so aware of your Holy Spirit speaking to us, Lord. Father, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to try my best to teach you a bit about gifts of the Spirit or awakening gifts of the Spirit. Trudy is here as well, and Trudy's going to come and share her experience just a little bit later on. I do have this problem, as I'm from Northern Ireland, that sometimes I talk very quickly and can be hard to make out. So what I try to do is I don't try to slow down. I just ask everybody to speed up a wee bit and try to keep up, to maybe try and keep up with me. I don't know if you're aware, but there is, at the moment, it seems as though there is a day for everything. So if you didn't know, there is a hug a bear day, and that happens on the 7th of November. There is a take a sickie from work day, which happens on the 7th of February. Cycle to work day is the 1st of August. Tune up your central heating day is the 25th of September. Name your car day is the 2nd of October. Knock knock joke day is the 31st of October for some reason. Clean out your fridge day, why this is a day I don't know, is the 15th of November. Take the stairs day is the 15th of January. There's also another interesting day that I always found very, very interesting, and it dates back from the Victorian era, and it's 5 weeks before Christmas, and it's the last Sunday before Advent, and that is known or used to be known as Stir Up Sunday. That there was a Sunday when they gathered all of the ingredients for the Christmas pudding and they put it all together and they stirred it up. Now, ever since I've been a pastor and ever since I've come into ministry, I have always longed for Stir Up Sunday. I have always longed for a Sunday where it just all happened. I mean, and where people stirred up the gifts of the Spirit, where people broke out into gifts of the Spirit, where people broke through into gifts of the Spirit. And I'm sure it would be chaotic, but anybody who would know me would get, I love that kind of space anyway, and that's okay. I'm quite happy for all of that to happen. I always wanted a Sunday. Always wanted there to be a day when we came together and the Lord just came and everything changed, and there was prophecy and there was tongues and there was interpretation. People people got healed and deliverance took place and all and here I am still like I am still that complete optimist that it could be this Sunday. Like it might be, who knows? It could be, I live like it will be this Sunday, but also I'm very aware it might not all look like that, but it can still happen. The gifts of the Spirit can still be stirred up. The gifts of the Spirit can still be awakened within people. And when I was talking about that stir up Sunday, it would be stir up Sunday. It wouldn't be new impartation Sunday, which would be brilliant in itself. And it wouldn't be receive a new gift Sunday, which would be great. It would be stir up what's already there. Stir up what lies within. Stir up what God has already placed in your life that actually you might know a little bit about or you might not be aware of at all, but the gifting that has already been placed inside, about having that stirred up and having that awakened within us. See, here, how it works in our church in Portadown, we have somewhere around, I always try and play it down, never try and overplay it. We have somewhere around about 300 or 400 people attached to our church, okay? Out of that 300 or 400, this is me being honest, out of that 300 or 400 people attached to our church, yours might be the same, there are about 10 people, I'll just take one gift, there are about 10 people who regularly exercise the gift of prophecy. The percentages aren't right, sure they're not. Like, they're not right. You can't have 300 or 400 people, majority of them would say they're Spirit-filled believers, and yet out of that, the percentage of people who know and exercise the gift of prophecy. So I believe there should be 60 or 70 people at least, but they're not. They don't. And that could be for all kinds of reasons. I think the percentages aren't right. And I think you could break that down into any gift of the Spirit, whether that's the word of knowledge, whether it's the word of wisdom, whether it's that the percentages are not right. There is such a small group of people who are exercising regularly the gifts. And there's a huge, huge amount of people who aren't exercising the gift, be that for fear or whatever reason. And that all needs to be activated. There has to be a time when that gets activated and where that changes. I believe the gifts of the Spirit are awaiting to be activated in the lives of our church. We're going to read just a couple of verses. There's going to be some verses that are going to come on the screen. If I forget to click that, it's bound to happen. Just try and follow me the best that you can. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, I am persuaded it is in you. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gifting of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So here's the small wee bit of background that I have time to give you today. As the background is that Timothy is the pastor of the church in Ephesus. It's one of the largest churches at that time and one of the largest cities at that time. And Timothy had particular trouble in the church, and the whole of 1 Timothy is written. And Paul writes that to give him some kind of structure to look to. He's trying to teach him, trying to help him be a pastor. And then 2 Timothy is slightly different. 2 Timothy, Paul is in his second imprisonment. He's been imprisoned again. The first time Paul was imprisoned, it was kind of house arrest. People could come and go, very, very relaxed. Paul was very optimistic that he would be released. Second imprisonment, which is where he writes from now, there isn't that optimism. This is Paul coming towards the end, and he has to say some important stuff to Timothy. So there's a big difference between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And also the thing that happened between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, we think, was that there was this fire, there was this great fire that had happened. And it seems as though Nero had told everybody that it was the Christians who started the fire in some way, spread this lie that it was the Christians who started the fire, because Paul and Jesus, even before him, preached a message of judgment which led to fire. So therefore now there's fire, it was the Christians. And in some ways, Paul was arrested for preaching the gospel, and Paul's arrested, but maybe even in some way he was arrested for kind of inciting arson, it seems, as well. And this is what happened in between 1 and 2 Timothy. And Timothy is now in this place where he's worried about his life, where he's worried about the lives of his congregation, where he is fearful. This is why Paul says God hasn't given you a God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, because Timothy is fearful for his life, worried about his life, and worried about the lives of those in his congregation. So a couple of things that I want us to follow, and that is that he says, therefore I remind you, a call to remember. Paul gives him a call to remember. And for you and I, for the gifts of the Spirit to be awakened just today, even in this space that we have, I think it's important that you and I remember that these are grace gifts. That whatever the Lord does, that he gives us graciously. The gifts of the Spirit are not a reward. They're not something that is earned. They're not something that you and I receive because we've done really well. I used to think when I was a young Christian, if I prayed more, if I did more, if I interceded more, if I fasted more, but some of the fasting that I did when I was younger, it was more like a hunger strike than anything else. It was like, oh, come on, you have to do it now. And what I've realized is actually that fasting doesn't get the Lord to listen to me anymore. It just gets me to listen more to him. The fasting removes the distractions for me to be able to get closer to him. It doesn't make him come closer to me in that sense. So these are grace gifts. These are endowments that the Holy Spirit gives, that these are grace gifts that he gives to each one of us. I would interpret spiritual gifts as the things the Holy Spirit decides to make happen so the church can be built up. Just things, and he comes and he brings it. And we have to remember they are grace gifts. They are not natural gifts. You and I all have natural gifting of some degree. Somebody can have a natural gifting that they could be good at sports, or somebody could have a natural gifting that they could play the guitar, or they could be good at music, or any of those things. And in church, we need natural gifting. And in church, the Lord will bless natural gifting. But you don't necessarily need the Lord to use the natural gifting. The Lord will always use it, but so we're not talking about natural gifting today, and we're actually not talking about acquired gifting, and that's the things that you pick up and that you learn, things that you, and sometimes that fits with your natural. So if someone's really, really brilliant with kids, they become the kids worker, and they pick up all of these, they acquire all of these gifts to be able to do that. That's brilliant. That's absolutely fantastic. The Lord uses natural gifting. The Lord uses acquired gifting that we develop over time. But we're not talking about natural or acquired. We're talking about spiritual gifting. Things that you cannot do without the Holy Spirit. You can only do it with the Holy Spirit. It is supernaturally given to us. And I heard someone preach very, very recently. And he said, actually, most of our churches are being run on natural and acquired gifts. They are. Not on spiritual gifts, that if the Lord didn't show up and the Lord wasn't there, that we couldn't. So we have to be so, so careful, because that's how, and the Lord blesses the natural and he blesses the acquired, but there has to be the moments where everybody looks around and says, this is God in the room doing this and stirring people up. So these are grace gifts that are given to us. And Paul's calling him, he's reminding him in some ways the gifts of the Spirit are grace gifts. The other thing is that Jesus meets us when gifts of the Spirit are operated. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Pastor John Thompson from Sanctus Church in Toronto. Just incredible, incredible teaching around gifts of the Spirit, around deliverance, fantastic teaching around deliverance, if you want to go on and follow his stuff. But he mentions he would put it like this. He would say, revival is not guaranteed as much as we would want it. As much as we would want it, it is not guaranteed. But the presence of Jesus is guaranteed. And he would say, it's guaranteed in communion. It's guaranteed in gathered worship. It's guaranteed where God's people in baptism. It's guaranteed, and he would say, it is guaranteed when somebody operates a gift of the Spirit. You can be sure, whether you feel it or not, whether you feel Jesus close or not, when you operate a gift of the Spirit, no matter what gift of the Spirit that might be, you can be entirely sure that Jesus is there. Right there, and he is present. Jesus is present when gifts of the Spirit are being operated. It is an absolute guarantee that the Lord will be there. A couple of weeks ago, it was actually Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, I don't know what your churches did, but on the Sunday morning, we had a short service. It was about an hour service, just people were going home to do family stuff. And there was a young guy, 25-year-old guy, who got saved, which was amazing, absolutely amazing, because I don't know, I can't even remember what I was preaching on. You know, it was maybe the wise man, or it was something else. It was a Christmas message on Christmas Eve. There was no gospel appeal, and he came to faith. which was awesome. 2 weeks later in church, we were having a service, great service, stuff was happening. And then, I don't know if your church has this, we still have it, but a lady got up and she gave a message in tongues. So she spoke over and above everybody else and while everybody was worshiping, and she gave a message in tongues. So I kind of thought to myself, I wonder what Nathan, this new convert, wonder what he thinks about all of this. I wonder how he's going to respond. He comes to me after the service because he just wants a bit of a chat. And I was expecting him to say, Ross, what was all that about? You know what I mean? What was happening there? This is what he says to me. He says, see, when that lady stood up and prayed like that, he said, all the hairs on my back went up. I felt Jesus right next to me. And I thought, here's me. Here's us trying to explain everything. And we have to explain stuff, of course. Me thinking it's going to freak him out. No, it's drawing him closer to Jesus. It's drawing him closer. Why? Because when gifts of the Spirit are operated, Jesus is near. And that happens here. It can happen in a church setting. It can happen in an office, in a factory. It can happen on a street. You share a word of knowledge with somebody. Jesus is close. Jesus is near. How does that someone responds by saying, how does he know me? How does Jesus know me? And people, I always kind of say, gifts of the Spirit are operated. People always feel more loved. They always leave feeling more loved by Jesus. So gifts of the Spirit mean that Jesus comes close. And also he is reminded that, or at least I want to remind us today, as Paul says to Timothy, remind yourself. I remind myself, even from my younger years, hunger changes everything. I mean, hungry people change everything. You only need a handful of people in your church to be hungry. I mean, really hungry for God. Really, really hungry for the presence of God. Happened to me 3 times last year. It's never happened to me before that. I was preaching in 3 different places, like young adulty stuff and youth stuff and different places. They still let me speak at youth meetings. And I remember in the first one place I was at, and I just kind of said, I was preaching, and I was kind of making this appeal where I was saying, like, if you were hungry for God, you'd just come after him. And I still had about 5 minutes to go in my talk or 10 minutes to go. They just start coming to the front. They just start coming and kneeling at the front. It was like they started to run to the front. They interrupted my preaching, which was so great. They just started, and I was just reminded as I saw a couple of hundred of young people all kneeling. This is in Dublin. A couple of hundred young people all kneeling at the front. I was just reminded, hunger changes everything. I mean everything. A guy in our church said to me, Pastor, would you come out and pray around the house? And I said, yeah, of course. Well, he built a new house, went around, prayed around the house, anointed with oil, all those things that we do sometimes. And I was leaving, and he says, Pastor, explain to me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I looked at my watch, and I had to pick my daughter up in 5 minutes. And I said, I have 5 minutes. Let me explain to you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Explain the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, John, I'm sorry, but pray. So Monday, Thursday night, he came to the midweek meeting, and he said to me, I got it. And I said, so what was that? What was that? What did you get? He says, like, baptism of the Holy Spirit. I says, okay, what happened? And he says, started speaking in other languages, started speaking in tongues. He says, that's fantastic, John. I says, what did you do then? So I shouldn't have asked that, looking back at it. He said, I wrote them all down. Guy, unchurched, wrote them all down. The best that could write them down, I wrote them down. So then he pulled the book out that he wrote them down in to show me. Showed me a full page of what he felt the best of his writing down tongues was. I says to him, again, I was chancing it. I said, what'd you do then? I should have known what he was going to do. He said, I stuck it into Google Translate. And I went, right? Stuck it into Google Translate. So this is what he done. Flipped the page over, and then he had his tongues and Google Translate. So what did Google Translate do with the best that he could write down his tongues? Google Translate said it was ancient Swahili and interpreted Jehovah is God. The Lord is our God. The Lord. And I can remember when he told me this story, I was going, oh, see, to have that hunger. Oh, do you remember what that was like? Do you remember when you were so hungry for God, you'd do things like that? You're so hungry for God, you would wait on him. I can remember being younger, we used to go to, given my age, we used to go to tarrying meetings. And nothing would happen for about 2 hours or 3 hours, but then somewhere in the middle of the night, God would show up. And you were just so hungry for God. We need to remind ourselves that hunger can change everything. It is so powerful. The second thing is that Paul says to Timothy not to retreat. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And I think in our churches, and even with ourselves, we have to be careful of our starting places. I'm becoming more and more aware that within all of our churches, people have come from all different kinds of backgrounds. People come from mainstream churches. They come from closed churches. They come from very, very different backgrounds. And then they find themselves in Elam. They find themselves in Pentecostal charismatic settings. And they bring all of that with them. And we all have a starting place with gifts of the Spirit. And the people who you minister alongside or minister with have a starting place the same way that you did. And for some people, their starting place could be they've came from a cessationist place where they don't believe the gifts of the Spirit are for today. They do believe that they happened once, but when the apostles died, when the canon of Scripture came, the gifts of the Spirit are no longer needed. And we have to realize that as much as we want God to really, really break in, there's people in our churches coming from that place. And that needs a wee bit of help, and that needs a wee bit of explanation. It's nothing wrong, but it just needs some help. And also what we need to realize that I kind of think in most of our Elam churches, especially in Ireland, most of our Elam churches, people are not in this place of cessationism, but they're kind of in this place of just very cautious, open but cautious. Like, I want it, but I kind of want it on my turn. They're very, very cautious about what they want to happen or how it might happen or the way that it might look. So you have to understand people's starting places. We have to acknowledge their starting place. We have to be aware of where they're coming from. They're open but cautious. There are other people who have maybe brought up in the way I was brought up in Pentecostal church, and kind of have seen gifts of the Spirit, have seen them used amazingly. Have seen gifts of the Spirit used not that great as well. And people are coming with that background. And then there's others who are coming with absolutely no background at all. When Paul said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, he said, but power and of love and of soundness of mind. He was saying that God hasn't given you a spirit, you've heard this before, of timidity. God hasn't given you a spirit of cowardice. And timidity and cowardice means that you stand still, you feel paralyzed, or you move back. Another translation of God has not given us a spirit of fear. I can't remember which version it was, but they translated it like this. God has not given you a spirit of retreat. It's really interesting, isn't it? God hasn't given you a spirit that causes you to retreat. God has given you power and love and soundness of mind. And gifts of the Spirit are all about taking new territory, all about people stepping into what God has given them, all about taking new territory, pushing back the forces of darkness, whereas the spirit of timidity would hold us where we are. The spirit of timidity would make us fall back. And I know sometimes all we can do is stand, but the gospel is all about standing when we have to stand and then moving forward and advancing. It's never about moving back. But the spirit of cowardice, the spirit of timidity, the spirit of fear, and it's very, you know, God hasn't given you it. It's not from the Lord. The Lord doesn't deal out fear. He doesn't give fear to people. You know, it's from the enemy. And God hasn't given you the spirit that causes you to retreat. But that's what's happening. That's why 10 people in my church or even in your church exercise prophecy and loads don't, who should, because of a spirit of fear. Something's making them shrink back from what God has placed in their lives. Something's causing them to retreat. And we need to be able to cause them to move forward into that and help them discover what it looks like. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And I know we've heard it in Elam and in Pentecostal churches, that dunamis power. But one writer says, what it means is the power that you have is the power of an advancing army on the inside of you moving forward. That's what the Lord gives us. You don't have to retreat. You don't have to fall back. You need to take new territory. We have this advancing army on the inside. I think the reason why most people don't move into gifts of the Spirit, and you may be here, is that they're not willing to become a learner. And what I mean by that is, I think young people who get baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and start to move into gifts of the Spirit, the reason that sometimes they find it a lot easier is because they haven't been around church for years and years and years, and they haven't been through all of the cycles. So if I have someone or you have someone in your church that's been part of your church for 30 years, 40 years, they have a gift of, let's say they have a gift of prophecy. God gives them a word, and in church setting, he wants them to share it. you realize that that person who's been in your church for 30 or 40 years now has to leave their seat in some way, become a learner in the room with everybody who knows them really well for years and years, and everybody in the room saying, they've never done that before. Because they know you. They've never done that before. And that person must be willing to then, sure, take a microphone, whatever that looks like, and become a learner. And I think that's the reason why the majority of people, I don't want to put an age on it, but if it was kind of be over 40, why they won't. They're afraid to become a learner. They're afraid to put their hands up and say, I'm doing this for the first time. You all know me. You've known me for the last 20 years. You've seen me. You know I haven't operated this gift before, but it's in me, and now I'm trying to. And people have a fear about being a learner, whereas it seems as though young people and young adults or people who are completely new to the faith will walk into it with ease. And this is the majority of our churches are in this place. People won't be learners. People are afraid, it seems. And I can understand it in some way. But in another way, then the gifting of God just lies dormant. Like for all of us, like come on. Like we're going to get the eternity one day. People are going to get the eternity one day. And then in some way they might realize the gifting that was always in their life that they never stirred up. It was just dormant their whole life. People are going to get the eternity and then realize that the Lord maybe had other things that he wanted them to move into. People are unwilling to become learners. And if older people and people who've been around for a while, oh, if they would step forward, what that would do for the congregations, what that would do, the confidence that that would build, like the acknowledgement of that we're weak and yet we're trying, you know, all of those things. A couple of weeks ago, it was only just 2 weeks ago, was it? My associate pastor, who's here, he's in the business meeting like a good pastor. There was, again, we had Gifts of the Spirit were operated. There was a message in tongues. And I wasn't like leading the meeting kind of thing. But I looked over to him and he was kind of leading the meeting. And he looked at me and he went, I think I have it, the interpretation. He says, what should I do? And I'm like, go for it, like a go. And he stepped up and boy, he took the microphone and he gave interpretation. And oh my God. And this is a guy who's 30, who's been brought up in that church. People in that church took him out to the creche when he was younger. And he's stepping up and he's showing for the first time. You all know this is the first time that I've done it, but he stepped into it. Boy, I couldn't have been prouder. I was like, oh my goodness, this is absolutely fantastic. When anybody does it, when they're willing to become a learner in the room. And also, we need to realize that neglected things will die. They will die in some way. The gifting was already within Timothy. This is where we have to understand that the gifts of the Spirit, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians, 21 gifts of the Spirit, it seems, right across the New Testament. There's a lot. I don't have time just like break every one down. This is more about just activating them. But gifts of the Spirit they're not self-perpetuating. They're not like the Lord gives us salvation. The Lord gives us justification. The Lord does all of that and we do nothing. You know, he's done it all. Gifts of the Spirit he gives us, we have to exercise it. The Lord works with us. The Lord will never just overtake and the Lord doesn't like take hold of your mouth and you don't know what you're saying. The Lord, if that was the case, it wouldn't be just to speak in tongues or to give a prophecy. It would be out in the streets and sharing the gospel all the time. The Lord never just takes over our mouths. The Lord always works with us. It's up to you and I to stir up. That's where that song, as brilliant as the song is, you know, stir it up in my heart, Lord. That's a fab song, but it's the wrong way around. We have to stir it up. We are the people who stir up the gifting of God. And neglected things will die. And if you and I neglect the gifting of God, the Lord may not take it away because the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. But it may mean that we neglect it to a certain place where it's on the shelf, where it's forgotten about, where it's not exercised, where there's a fear that we can't just step back into it. We need to remember that just as you wouldn't neglect your animal, you wouldn't neglect your car, you wouldn't neglect any of those things, that we can't neglect the gifting of God that he has put within us. Because eventually, if we do that, it will atrophy in some way, it will break down in some way, we will lose our sharpness with it, and we have to take it off the shelf. We have to understand that the gifts of the Spirit are given to you and I to steward, that you and I have to use them, that we have to exercise them, and we have to kind of lean into them. So this afternoon, that's what we're going to do in a few moments. I can remember a retired pastor I love very, very dearly. And my leaning is towards prophecy. So it always has been. And I can remember him saying to me in a very, very gracious way, he says to me, "Ross, you can't always give the people just the things that you like." And I think what he meant was we were doing a series of Sunday night meetings. Like I love preaching and teaching. We were doing Sunday nights, and the services that we were doing on Sunday nights were a bit more, "We're just going to come and see what happens." And lots of people were coming to it. And he was maybe a bit fearful that I was going to do this forever. And he was saying, like, "Just be careful." And I took his words of caution. But what I've found is, and I'm not criticizing Elam, although it sounds critical, is that sometimes we haven't found the right language. Some of my other friends in other streams and charismatic church and some of them, they would be the opposite. They would be saying to me, "Ross, lean into it. Lean into what the Lord has put on your heart. Lean into what the gift and the God has given you." Because when you do that, others feel comfortable to do it as well. So I don't think there's anybody here today who doesn't have gifting of God that lies in their heart and their life. It may be dormant. But you need to lean into it. You need to pursue it. Paul said, pursue prophecy. Like, come after it. Desire it. Pursue it. Gifts of the Spirit we have to come after. Gifts of the Spirit we have to stir up. Gifts of the Spirit will not just operate just by themselves or by the Holy Spirit overtaking our mouths or doing something in us. We have to kind of lean into it in some way. We have to take the gifts off the shelf that might be there. The gifts and the callings of God aren't just like, you know, people say it's just like riding a bike. It's just like getting, but that's not how gifts of the Spirit work. People can leave it for so long that they feel as though they just can't come back to it. And anybody can. Anybody could have a big absence of, they were very, very prophetic, and then years later they come back to it. Anybody can have, but most don't. Most don't. Most people in churches that I preach in and I minister in, as a young person and as a young adult, they have such hunger for God, and they go after gifts of the Spirit, and then they take this huge absence, and they're not really the role models who, and we should all be these people, who are sitting down with these younger people and explaining that Jesus meets us when those gifts of the Spirit are operated. We should be those people. I'm going to ask Trudy just to come. She's going to share a little bit of her experience at Gifts of the Spirit. And then I'm going to come back and lead us in a bit of a response. Would you give Trudy a round of applause as she comes?
Thank you, Ross. Oh, my goodness, how many people are in the room. When I was asked if I would come and just do some support for Ross, I was told I would be praying with people. And then Ross emailed me on Friday and he says, "Would you like to say a few words on this and this?" So I thought, oh yeah, there might be 15 people in the room. Yeah, but I'm not going to be daunted by how many. It's great to see so many people here. My name's Trudy. I'm one of the pastors at Beacon Elam Church in Malvern. And my experience of the gifts of the Spirit, whenever I was thinking about this, I have a little illustration to share with you. My little grandson, Jamie, he recently discovered an ice cream van. He was at his great-grand's house in Birmingham, and an ice cream van come. This was last Saturday. So he heard the ice cream van sound, and he had an ice cream. He had a cone. And then last Friday, I was with him. This was like a week later, and I was with him. And we were in Malvern in Priory Park, and the bells sounded in the Priory Church. And Jamie said, ice cream, Nan Nan. And I says, "What, darling?" And he says, "Ice cream." And I says, "Oh, no, no, that's not an ice cream, that's the church." So when I was preparing, I felt I should say it to you, what they're not. what the gifts of the Spirit aren't. I don't know what your position is in the church you're in today, whether you're leading from the front, whether you're an elder, whether you're a lay rep, whatever your position they, what in that church, that you should think about what they are not. Ross has shared with us, we are encouraged to earnestly desire them. We're to go after them and pursue them. And for me, my experience was in a hall in Belfast when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit back in 2001. It was a meeting. Joyce Meyer was speaking. I was there. I was seeking after. I was hungry for the Lord. And she said, if there's anyone here and you would like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, please stand now and put your hands out. And I stood up and I put my hands out as a fairly new Christian. And then she just said, now. She prayed. She just prayed over, not with individuals, just prayed over the people in the room. And there was thousands in the room that day. And then she said, I just want you to start making a sound. Just start speaking what's coming on your mouth. And I started to speak in tongues. And that's where my experience of the Holy Spirit and operating in the gifts of the Spirit began. And I can remember not long after that in Market Hill Elam Church. So Ross and I, I'm sure you've gathered, we're both from Northern Ireland. We didn't know each other until today, but I come originally from Market Hill Elam Church. And one Sunday morning, I was in the service and the pastor said, you know, someone gave... there's someone here and you've got a message in tongues. And I was standing and I was like, no. Like this here, no, definitely not me. And someone else gave the message and the interpretation came. And just after the service, this man came over and he said to me, Trudy, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. You had the message and you didn't give it this morning. So I can tell you the next Sunday that I knew that I was anointed and felt anointed to give a message in tongues. I was obedient to God. So where did my, I have a starting place, and I don't know where your starting place is today, but that was mine. And then there were other times that I have used the gifts of the Spirit, and one of them was another time in Nantwich Elam when I studied at Regent's Theological College. My first role at Nantwich Elam as a placement student was to be on the welcoming team. Gosh, I hated it because I am so shy. It is just not my sweet spot at all to be on welcoming strangers. But, you know, God really had his hand on my life in that, and he used me in Nantwich Elam on the welcoming team. And after a few weeks, the pastor there, he said to me, are you thinking of going forward for MIT to become a pastor? Which absolutely blew my mind. More recently, I have used the gift of administration. I had to take some time out from being a pastor because of my health, and I became the PA to the finance director at Elam headquarters. And I used to get phone calls from colleagues. Because of my job, I answered the phone for finance. And they would say, Trudy, why are you there? You were ordained. Why are you doing an admin job? And I said, God called me to do this job. I'm here for this season and this time to support Robert Miller in his job. Last year here at Elam Conference, during one of the sessions, we were encouraged to pray with the person next to us. I can remember it was a man, and I prayed with him, and I gave him a word. And he said to me, how did you know that? I didn't know the man. And I says, well, I just felt led that way whenever I was praying with you. This morning, as we were in our first session, I don't know about you, but I had my notebook open as Chris Cartwright was speaking, and God was speaking to me. So what am I trying to say to you this afternoon when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit? There's a starting place, and that's with Jesus. It's our relationship with him. That's where we need to begin our relationship with him. Also, others will be able to identify that gift in us. And you're here today, and obviously you're here for a reason. And maybe today God's saying to you, you need to just step out and release people within your church to move in the gifts of the Spirit, to allow them to operate in those gifts. I have experienced this so many times when someone, like Ross has said, gives a message in tongues, and you wait and you lead and you say to the congregation, let's just wait. Let's wait to see who has the interpretation. And maybe someone brings a prayer or a word of praise. But it's up to us as leaders to say and to be in tune with the Spirit. That's wonderful, Jane. That was a lovely prayer. But I still don't believe that's the interpretation. But that comes from our personal time with God, listening to the Spirit in that time. But I do believe that there's people here today, and God wants you to release people within your congregation, that they're in that starting place. He wants you to release them, that you can see it within someone, but also it's up to you to uncover, to allow them to give it a go. Another way that God has used me is in dreams. I had this dream one night. This was maybe about a year ago. Well, over a year ago. I had this dream. And I wakened up and I said, oh, no, Lord. That's definitely not for me. And the dream was to start up a mother and toddler group. I was like, oh, no, definitely not, Lord. A mother and toddler group every week. But I even had the name. The name of the group was Little Peeps in my dream. Stir up the gift that God has within you. You know, they are essential for the church, and they should benefit others. Jesus has placed you in your church for a reason. And if you're not stirring up and leading by example, then how do we expect other people to do that? If we can't do it, I'll say to my elders, say they say to you, we've been doing these meetings called encounter evenings. And maybe at an elders meeting, the elders say, you know, we need to do more of this. You know what I respond? I say, let me see you do it. You do it. You're there to lead by example. I'm releasing you. You do it. You step up to the plate. And you show people how it's done. You move in the gifts of the Spirit and show people how it's done. Lead by example. So that's all a bit of a jumble. Going back to Jamie and the ice cream van, what they're not. Let us teach our people what they're not. Ross has shared this afternoon their grace gifts. They're given to us. It's up to us to stir them up within us. Our own experience. Keep living out that experience. Stay close to Jesus. Other things will try to distract us. I'm talking to myself here. Stay close to him. Maybe today God has a new gift for you that he wants you to stir up. Maybe today he's speaking to you and he's saying to you, I've already been talking, but you haven't been listening. And to remember that we're in that position, if you're in that position today, to release people into that is such an important position. And we don't even have to be leaders, as in the people at the front, to release people into their giftings. Each one of us here has a responsibility to do that. So that's just a little bit about my experience and what it's been like to operate in the gifts of the Spirit.
Thanks so much, Trudy. I'm just going to lead us just in a bit of a response. There was a couple of points there, but we'll not really jump into them too much. But it was the last wee bit that Paul had said, stir up the gift of God, which is within you, the call to rekindle, the call to fan into flame. The NIV says that there is a fire about the gifts of the Spirit, or there should be a fire about the gifts of the Spirit. Paul likens it to fire, and fire that needs oxygen, and fire that needs to keep burning. I realized, it was only 2 weeks ago, I think I realized realized I was up. We were having an early morning prayer meeting for revival, and I was praying. And what was it? I was praying for God that the Lord would save people, that people would walk into their purpose, that the town would be reached. And I was praying all of these things. And what I realized when I heard some teaching later that day is I thought I was praying for revival. That's just church. That's just the way church is meant to be, isn't it? Like, that's not revival when people get healed and people get saved. As brilliant as all that stuff is, that should just be the way it is. That's church. And what we're looking for is, and I heard the guy break it down like this, and he said that renewal is when you have somebody in your congregation who has been a Christian maybe for 10 or 20 years or something, and then all of a sudden God just does something in them that is completely new. You might have some people like that, and all of a sudden God comes upon them in a remarkable way and renews them. It happens to one person or it happens to a few people. That's renewal, and it's beautiful, and we should be praying for it. Then he broke it down and said revival is when that happens to many, many people. When that happens right across your church or your community or your, when that happens to lots and lots of people, it's not just one, but there's a mass of people who start to find a renewal. But awakening, which is what this week is about, is a step beyond that. And that's not when it affects one and not when it affects many. It's when it affects everybody. And that's when the whole community, like Duncan Campbell said, the community saturated in the presence of God. And Paul calls Timothy to fan into flame the gifting that is within him, to make sure that the gifting of God within him is burning, that one or two or a few can be renewed, and we must pray for that. Many can be renewed, and that would be a reviving in our churches. But what we're longing for is a real awakening. I had put down there on the next one, it says managing expectations. And how do we manage the expectations? And that's just simply that one person's expectations of what a revival is, or one person's expectations of what stirring up the gifts of the Spirit is, looks very different to somebody else. Somebody in your congregation could say, the pastor has preached an absolutely amazing message and taught us so well. That's their expectation of gifts of the Spirit, and that's right. And someone else's expectation of gifts of the Spirit would be spontaneous song. So in some ways, we have to manage all of that. How do I manage it in some ways? I manage it by believing there will be a stir up Sunday. But whilst waiting on stir up Sunday, it's more like conversations with people, tapping people on the shoulder, saying, I think this is in you. You need to stir it up. It looks like it's you get revival like either one or two ways. It's a bit like a flood. A flood can come like a flash flood, like all of a sudden and the water rises. Or it can come with just a gradual increase over time. Either way, you take it, don't you? Either way, you just want God to move. And sometimes we have to manage our own expectations to believe for God to do the miraculous breakthrough thing, but also to believe that sometimes it happens through one-on-one conversations where we encourage people to stir up what's within them, and we encourage them to move on in their gifts. And very, very lastly, our need to buy oil. You may have heard of this. Lots of prophetic people have been teaching on it these last couple of months. At a prayer time, I was at the guy, we were leading in our church, one of our worship leaders, at the very, very end said, I'm going to sing this song. Maybe you haven't sang it from Sunday school days. And I said, right, where are we going now? And he sang, give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning. Keep it burning till the break of day. I thought that was so interesting to sing, why he felt led to sing that. Maybe think about what was the breaking of day. What was the and obviously the breaking of day is a referral to the Lord's return. It's like, keep me burning until I leave or until the Lord comes back in some way. Keep me burning until that point. And then what I realized was there was lots of prophetic people saying this all around the world, that this is right now we need to be buying oil. And what does that mean? It means like the lamp is our ministry, the lamp is our public face, but the oil is our intimate space with Jesus. It's where you buy oil. In that intimate place with Jesus, that alone place with Jesus, that is where truly gifts of the Spirit are stirred up. Like it can happen in a moment in a place like this, but actually the gifts of the Spirit are stirred up in that intimate space with Jesus, where we're alone with him, where we're buying oil, where nobody sees and nobody recognizes and nobody pats us in the back and nobody, but we're alone with Jesus, where we're intimate with him, and I need to do it so, so much more, where we have that intimate space, and this is the day it seems. Seems as though that's what the Lord is saying to so, so many people, to come aside and to buy oil in that intimate space. The gifts of the Spirit will be stirred up. About a year ago, our youngest son is he's free. He's coming for soon. And he joined us in lockdown, during the first lockdown. We had been through fostering and adoption training. We have two birth kids. They're a bit older, 17 and 11. And we'd done our fostering and adoption training. And then we got a phone call in lockdown, said, there's a baby boy going to be born in 3 weeks. Can you take him? And I says, absolutely, absolutely. And he joined us at 3 days old, and he stayed with us. And we had adoption day last year, which was wonderful, really, really wonderful. And he means absolutely everything to us. And he struggles to get to sleep at night, like many children do. And we went through this wee stage where, you might have done this as well, where you take him out in the car to get him asleep. Bad parenting maybe, but anyway, there we go. Take him out. And he used to, there were some songs he put on, and there were some songs that he liked. And then he would say, Daddy, 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 sing Our Father. And what he meant was sing Run to the Father, but he didn't know the words. And so he'd sing Run to the Father. And then one night he said to me, Daddy, Daddy, sing The Lion. The Lion. The Lion. And what he meant was the song Gratitude. Come on, my soul. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. So he says, right, okay. So then we put it on. So then I had a moment, because we're singing this song, me and him just in the car, and he's in the back, and this three-year-old boy. So that song, like lots of our songs, some of our songs are like vertical, they go to the Lord, but that one doesn't. You know, you're not saying to the Lord, come on my soul. You send it to yourself, you send it to each other. So all of a sudden I have this moment with him where I felt this three-year-old boy, he's nearly prophesying to me. He's nearly saying, come on, Dad. Come on. Stir up what's within you. Stop being so shy and so quiet and stir it up. And I literally had this moment. And then here's me speaking to him into his spirit. And I'm saying to him, come on. Come on, my soul. And all of a sudden, we're singing this song. And we're worshiping the Lord, but we're singing it to each other. And we're calling each other. I can remember sensing the presence of the Lord in the car. I can remember it was definitely a moment where Jesus was there. And it was definitely a moment when something happened inside me. And I believe something happened inside him as well, absolutely. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Lying inside of those lungs. He was calling on me to stir it up. I was calling on him to stir it up. I thought we were going to end this session today with, there was going to be 15 people here, and we would come around and pray for everybody. And praying for people is like, I love. I thought that's how we were going to, but we might not be able to do it quite like that. Do you know what I'm going to ask you to do in a moment or two? I'm going to ask you to stand, and then we're going to call it out of each other. We're going to call it out of each other. Let's stand to our feet. So I want you to take a moment, and I want you to think about what your gifting is, what the gifting is that you have leaned into or you are leaning into, or the gifting that you feel might be dormant in your life, the gifting that you feel God might have already placed there, and it's already inside you. I want you to think about what that is or what it could be. And then I want us to call on each other. And I want us to call it out of each other. I want us to call out the giftings out of each other. I want us to stir ourselves up and stir each other up, that we might leave here with just a fresh like desire and appetite to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Not parking that until Sunday or parking that till later in the week, but actually even later on today, no matter where we're going or what we're doing or no matter who we're chatting to or who we're with, that the gifts of the Spirit would be in operation. So just take a moment. Come on, my soul. Come on. You want to stir it up here? Just begin to lift your voice. 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 Bless you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. And come on, my soul, and don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, and you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Oh, get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. And you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Oh, get up and praise the Lord. Come on, keep singing it. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. And you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Oh, get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Oh, get up and praise the Lord. So I'll throw up my hands, I'll praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. And hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. And come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Oh, get up and praise the Lord. So I'll throw up my hands, I'll praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. And hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah and hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. Rema sono morando roba si ere barasi ere barondo roba si che ere barondo. Rema si ara baranda roba sono moriesse che ere berende ara barasso. Rama shandere ere boro sono moriete cari ara baranda. Robo sondo robo si ti ara baranda ara bacchette. Remesse ere baranda roba sono moriende ere beresse. Si ere baranda roba socco roba ronde ere ere si ara baranda. We bless you, we bless you. Remende ere 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 borosso. Rebo socco no moriesse ere ere si ere berete. A sono mariende era beresse e si chiere baranda rabassia cara era baranda ramanda rabassi chiara baranda rabass sono mariende brosso un doro bossiti era borosso si chiene nesce terre re borosso con muriette tabarassi era baranda abababababababa sora baranda rabassi era baranda. Let it rise up, Lord. Let it rise up. Let it rise up, Lord God, from deep within, Lord God. Let it rise up. Rebassi era baranda assi chiara baranda rabassi era barondo robossende asci ora barondo robossi era barosso non riende era barosso si chiara baranda rabasso non riende e sotto robossondo roborondo. Jesus, Jesus, we worship you. Remanda rabasia rabaranda era baranda. So Father God, Lord, we call out every prophetic voice, every prophetic voice, every prophetic voice, every prophetic voice be stirred up, and in the name of Jesus, every prophetic voice come forward. Let our churches be led by the prophetic voice, we pray. In the name of Jesus, every prophetic voice be stirred up. Every word of knowledge, every word of wisdom be stirred up. Every speaking out of faith and prayer, of faith and gift of faith be stirred up. Let the gifts of healing be stirred up in the name of Jesus. Let the gifts of healing be stirred up. Let our churches be wells of healing. Open up wells of healing right across Elam, right across Elam, right across Elam. That wells of healing open up in Jesus' name. Let there be the working of miracles. Let there be the working of creative miracles. We call it out. We stir it up in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let us as leaders, let us as people have the discerning of spirits in the name of Jesus. And let the tongues be loosed. Let the tongues be loosed, Lord, in praise and in worship and in adoration, Lord God. And Father, we pray for the interpretation. We pray for interpretation of gifts, of tongues, interpretation of dreams, Lord God. Lord, let them be stirred up now in the name of Jesus. Stir them up. Stir them up. Stir them up. Stir them up. Stir them up, I pray. Stir them up, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Henry's just going to share just a word with everybody here.
I just sense the Lord saying this. You are here. You come to this seminar because you are part of the 60%. Not the 40%, not the people that are saying, oh, that's somebody else's gift or that's somebody else. Would you just run with me for a moment? Yep. If you've got a coat on, have you brought a coat with you? Can you put it on? If you haven't got your coat with you, can you imagine you've got your coat? But you have to physically put it on now. And if you haven't got your coat, just mime it. Has everyone got their coat on? So I sense the Lord is saying is this. There's something really beautiful inside you. You have no idea how beautiful you are inside and how that beauty needs to be seen by others. And what I'm going to do, and he's speaking to each one of you here today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let others see the beauty that's in you. So physically, what I want you to do, he says, is take your coat off. Because what's underneath is not at the moment visible. And he wants to make it visible. He wants others to see the beauty that's in you. So if you are willing, and remember, he doesn't force us. It's an invitation. We have to align our will to his. We have to be willing for him to act. So if you are willing, as a sign of your willingness for what you're going to take back to your churches, remove your coats. Whether you're miming or physically doing it. Right? Now, here's the other thing. You're not just removing it and then when you walk out of it, you're going to put it back on spiritually. What you have to do now, hold it up and drop it. And the Lord is saying, I don't want you to pick that coat up again. Because from now on, I want people to see the beauty inside you. Yeah. Would you turn to the person next to you and remind them of just how beautiful they are?
Bless the Lord. Folks, thank you so much. We're going to close our session. I'm just going to pray just over us. I'll be about here, but whoever you came with, I'm sure if you want prayer, whoever you came with will pray for you. I do sense I don't want to prolong, and our time's gone. Somebody sort of right shoulder blade, shoulder like down here in pain or something like that, you came here in pain, really do believe that the Lord is touching you. Father, I just pray for healing right across this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. Pray for healing. I pray for healing, Father God. I pray that healing would come, Lord God. Lord, that you would touch people in body in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that we really would take, Father God, Lord, back, Lord God, what we'll experience at this conference. I pray we'll take it back, not just to our church setting, Father, but to our towns, and Father God, to Father, our communities, Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray that our communities will experience the awakening of the Spirit of God. But Father, let it start with us in the intimate place, Lord God, stirring up our hearts, Lord God, because we love you so much, Jesus. Receive our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, everybody.